you see someone dancing and clicking their heels over the transition from summer to fall, that might be me. I've been known to do it. A few weeks back, it felt as hot as Kansas light to me. On that particular weekend, I got a lot done at my cabin, and when I came back, I noticed the boat launch areas of Snake Lake. Both the state launch site and by the lodge looked like something closer to South Padre Island than Southwest Alaska, with all the swimmers, campers, and people in kayaks. Good on those people for getting outside on what was possibly our warmest day of the summer. I try to encourage people to get outdoors through my job and on this program, and there aren't a lot of wrong answers for how to do that. That said, at this stage in my life, I consider anything over 70 degrees to be excessive. It's why places like Kansas and Arizona and Florida exist, for people who think hot means enjoyable. While some dream of Hawaii, my youngest daughter included, I am fascinated by places like Iceland, Siberia, and both the Faroe and Svalbard Islands, none of which have any sort of reputation for things associated with warm. There are any number of reasons for why I like fall, just like I'm sure those of you advocating for summer have your reasons, even if you're wrong. One reason I like fall is that some wild places associated with wild animals really come alive in the fall. In this case, this particular case, I'm thinking of beaver ponds. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. As much as it may seem like I sometimes disparage my home state of Kansas for those disturbingly hot summers, Kansas falls were how I developed my love of fall. A good Kansas fall lasts a long time and really gives you a chance to appreciate it. The chill in the air, animal activity, the color change of the leaves on truly large deciduous trees. A Kansas fall is a magnificent thing, and because I had so much time to get out and do things I truly value, it's probably a big reason I love it the way I do now, even if our falls seem far more abbreviated. But I digress. Back to beaver ponds. I grew up a student, as it were, of the romantic notion of the outdoors and of trapping put forth in the movie Jeremiah Johnson, particularly the trapping of beavers. I didn't actually start beaver trapping until early high school, though I trapped everything else I could slap steel on. Trapping beavers in Kansas wasn't quite the same as those idyllic scenes from Jeremiah Johnson. It might surprise you to know that Kansas doesn't have the mountains as portrayed in the movie. So, beaver locales look a bit different as well. Oh, Kansas has plenty of beavers, and I caught enough to keep me busy and feeling like I sort of knew what I was doing. However, in Kansas, beavers are far more common to be found living out of bank dens on the rivers and streams, rather than constructing lodges and dams and making ponds. I bring all this up because beaver ponds are one of the really great things about fall, in my humble opinion. As the leaves begin to turn a really bright shade of yellow, I always find myself thinking about just how special, almost magical, beaver ponds seem to me. When I first saw Jeremiah Johnson as a second grader, I had never seen a beaver pond at all, or a beaver for that matter. And yet I just knew instinctively that those ponds looked like great places to be. The many ponds I have been around in the decades since have only validated what I first thought way back then. Many of you listening probably have experience with beavers. You've seen them, possibly up close or even on a fairly regular basis. Even those who don't get out much have an opportunity to see them, if for no other reason than because there's just so many around the area, and they're not exactly shy about being around people and human dwellings. Here in Dillingham, dams and other evidence can be seen on many of the crossings on Squaw Creek and other streams around town. They just aren't that hard to find or see. And I know it's the same in most area villages. You just don't have to go far to find beavers and the habitats they create for themselves. But this episode isn't about beavers as a species. Rather, I'd like to take a closer look at beaver ponds, those uber-cool, paddle-tail-created habitats that were the setting for many of the more powerful scenes in that movie, and some of the better places I've ever spent time in my years since as an outdoorsman. There can be several distinguishable parts to a typical beaver pond, including a lodge, a dam or a series of dams, a food cache, slides, and underwater runs. Some of those might not be as obvious, or it might be that all are easily seen. Certainly, there are people that get a few of those things mixed up, particularly lodge and dam. Certainly, it helps if you know just what you're looking for. Ponds are formed when dams are constructed, so let's start with that. I remember the first dam I ever saw firsthand during my sophomore year of high school. It was an impressive structure, spanning the width of the Smoky Hill River and easily higher than I was tall. I had gained access to the private ground it was found on for the purposes of trapping raccoon and coyote. When I came pushing through the brush to the river's edge and first laid eyes on it, it took my breath away. Even after all these years, I can still picture it clear as day, how it looked from the top of the river bank, and while standing in the water below, unable to see over the top. It's still the largest dam I've ever seen in Kansas, and by a pretty wide margin. Dams can be large or small, depending in some part on the stream or river the beaver's trying to dam up, and they serve a couple of purposes. The ponds formed by dams provide protection against a long list of predators. Beavers are very popular prey species for, well, pretty much anything that eats meat. They also provide access to lodges and food during winter months in areas where winters are severe enough to cause ponds to freeze over. Branches and logs are the most common building materials, and they are secured to the mud on the bottom of the stream or river to provide a base. Beavers are opportunistic and will use a wide variety of whatever's available to construct dams, including branches, mud, grass, leaves, and rocks. The stereotypical image of a dam is probably of large numbers of wrist-thick branches stacked vertically to hold back water. However, I've seen photos of dams from streams across the western U.S. in areas without as much timber that were constructed almost entirely of rocks. Water flow also plays a role in dam construction. Narrow, slow-moving waters often have a straight, high dam, while wider, faster-moving waters are often secured with the lowest point in the curve being near the middle of the dam. Beavers have well-deserved reputations as outstanding engineers. Spillways are built into the design to allow excess water to drain off, and these are often used as crossovers to access waters downstream. Dams, as you might expect, are wider at the base, and the top has a slight upstream tilt to it to combat the current. Again, dams can be quite small or quite large. How large? To date, the largest on record is a dam in northern Alberta that's almost 2,800 feet long. It's so large it can be seen from space, literally. The dam it displaced from the number one spot is a monster in Montana that's over 2,100 feet long, 14 feet high, and 23 feet wide at the base. And beavers, being what beavers are, there's every chance that those dams will continue to grow in size in the coming years. Beavers build dams based on topography and where they're able to find food. As the proficient engineers they are, they often select sites on streams where a constriction in flow is already in place, whether man-made or natural. This element of site selection can get them in trouble, which I'll talk about more in a moment. Each colony will normally establish one large main pond, and it's on this pond where they'll build their lodge. More on that in a moment as well. In addition to the main pond, other smaller dams are often constructed on the up and downstream sides. These help to provide for safe travel for the beaver while looking for new food, as well as a transport system for getting food and building materials back to the main site. The average colony will dam up to a half mile of stream in order to meet their needs. The next most important feature to a beaver pond is the structure the beaver actually lives in, the lodge. Lodges are constructed of limbs, rocks, and mud. There are two basic types of lodge, a bank lodge and a conical lodge. Bank lodges are dug into the bank and covered in timber. Bank lodges are a lot more likely to be seen along rivers and streams, and conical lodges are more common on ponds constructed on smaller waters. The lodge has a chamber in it where beavers sleep, eat, groom, and raise their young. Bedding materials such as grasses and wood chips are changed as often as daily. Each lodge will have at least two water-filled tunnels leading from the chamber to the pond so the beaver can enter and exit the lodge easily and underwater, cutting down on the chances that they'll be spotted or picked up by a predator. The layering of sticks and mud is extremely strong and deters most predators. The walls also provide insulating qualities, and even in below-zero weather, the body temperatures of the beavers inside will keep the inner lodge temperatures above freezing. Some other things you might notice around a beaver pond include runs. Runs are canals or other underwater areas of heavy travel. Runs are basically the underwater trails a beaver most often follows. The bottom will sometimes have a rutted look to it. Runs can be incredibly obvious in places like cattail marshes. Some of these runs can be hundreds of feet in length in order to get beavers safely closer to areas of food or timber. Also, on land you might notice slides. These are areas on steeper banks where beavers travel heavily up and down to feeding areas on the banks around the pond. One other feature you'll be able to see is the food cache, which is basically their refrigerator. It's a pile of limbs that they plan to use for food in the water near the lodge. This is the pantry they'll hit during the winter months. In some places, dams help to reduce erosion and sedimentation. However, beavers and their propensity for pond building, well, it's not universally loved. Again, depending on location, they can cause damage to the landscape or agricultural crops. Dams and ponds can result in flooding to agricultural areas and road systems. Beavers will often try to dam up culverts to construct ponds, something that's happened here in Dillingham a time or two or more. And they can create problems for other species, such as creating barriers to fish passage, such as with spawning salmon. Changing leaves, a crisp feel to the air, and animals gearing up for winter. Yeah, a beaver pond is a really cool place to be. I'm betting and hoping I see a few in the weeks to come. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.